I've actually been looking forward to this one. I'm hosting one of the most respected Arab fighters in the MMA world, a close friend of mine, a brother, Tariq
Thank you for having me. And thank you for this introduction. We're more than brothers, I would say. Like the relationship we built over the years, bringing me from almost a career-threatening
Sulaiman.
injury to where I am today is highly appreciated, and I will never forget this.
No,
So
it was an honor.
we bonded over injury. So this is the
Great intro.
warrior codes.
Yeah. So we're gonna start off. I just want to ask you, how are you feeling these days, mentally, physically? Personally, I know a bit, but yeah.
To be honest, like physically, yeah, it's the best period of my life. I'm almost pain-free. Every athlete
Almost.
with almost. There's always this one thing here and there that nags, but like
Fighter's life.
yeah, and when you are pain-free, you are happy. And when you are happy, they always say this, a happy fighter is a dangerous fighter. So yes, in terms of physicality, I am in the best shape of my life, pain free. I'm super fit, focusing more on my body. And in terms of performance, in terms of health, enjoying life again and enjoying training. So I am at a really good stage of my physical period, career wise.
We're gonna dive more deep into that later on. Of course, throughout the years, the thought process changes. So we're gonna talk about that a bit
Yeah.
later. So I just want you to tell me about your introduction to MMA.
When I started
Yes.
MMA, oh. So
It's been a long time ago, I know.
MMA was never the plan. I
Okay.
never thought of being an athlete. I come from a typical family, growing up to be, as you know, an engineer or a doctor or
Yeah,
whatever. So
typical.
yeah, and I followed this route. School, get good grades, go to a good university. So I was in Lebanon, in American University of Beirut.
Okay.
And the plan for me was to join the big family in the agriculture field. So I
Okay.
was studying agriculture engineer.
I had no idea, by the
No, I saved some for the
Yeah.
podcast. So yes, I mean, yeah, like typical Arab family to be grow up to be an engineer or a doctor. So the plan for me was to join my cousins in the agriculture field. It's a family business.
Okay.
So my first cousin is an engineer, studied in the US. My second one studied in also agriculture engineering, and for me, I studied agribusiness, agriculture and business administration.
Okay.
So like I'm social butterfly, you
Yeah,
know.
I know. I know.
so they want to put me in contact with people to increase sales. However, plans changed due to the war in Syria.
Okay. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately, the economy collapsed. My family struggled a bit financially when the currency collapsed as well. So basically in 2011, when the war started, it hit hard. It hit my dad's business hard. So he basically said, this is your last year tuition
Okay.
and good luck. There was
Okay.
no way for me to go back to Syria because of the military service. Because once I'm done with the university, I have no time. I gotta join the war. So I stayed in Lebanon for a bit. In 2011, I was searching for ways of income. I tried to work as a waiter in Roadster. I know you know it.
Hey, every Lebanese person knows Russell.
Yeah. So I tried it for a couple of days. I submitted my application as a runner. I couldn't handle the.
Hey, I
I
can
couldn't
imagine
handle.
that.
Yeah. But at the same time, I was already like into boxing and kickboxing.
You already started before.
Yes, in the
Okay.
university, and I was already doing some Lebanese tournaments, like Lebanon's Cup and Lebanon's Clubs Cup and
Okay.
all that. So I was getting a lot of medals and a lot of attentions from the federation.
Okay.
And in late 2011, when I really needed the money, my friend said, this is this game is coming to Lebanon. Like, okay. We fight in a cage and you get paid $700. Okay. I still remember the number. So I was like, let me do it. I really need the money. Okay. I didn't know back then what's jiu-jitsu. I only know some wrestling. I trained very quick. Okay. And my first fight was against a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
I took that fight, won, and I get addicted ever since. The organizers thought, oh, he have a skills. And he's in university. They wanted to build the idea about fighters that are educated, not like street fighters that you get off the street and then they let them fight. So they wanted to draw that picture of an educated athlete and athletes that they are not like barbarians fighting each other.
Okay.
So they wanted to invest in me. So they gave me another opportunity and things took off from then.
We're going to talk later on a bit more about that, because I do believe lots of athletes in their prime make money, but they don't know what to do with that money later on. They lose most of their money, so we'll dive in deep into that. So I want you to walk me through your mental state 24 hours into the fight, before the fight.
Oh my God, this is when... Like,
I watched it like hands on.
When I am on... Like, when my mindset, when I am on, like, I'm gonna fight, I'm gonna fuck him up, like, I'm nervous. I'm very scared. All the doubts are in my mind. My brain is telling me not to fight.
Okay.
Where my instinct is telling me fight. But yeah, if I am on, like, my mind is, you know, we always talk about this, fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
Yeah, so like if you are in that state, fight or flight mode, the fight will be fire.
Yeah.
If I am relaxed and chilled...
Usually you give that impression.
Yeah, but like, you know, there is these battles in your mind.
Of course.
Like, I don't show it, I don't reflect it, I'm a very calm person. But in my mind, every single doubt I have throughout my life comes out, surfaces when I'm about to go into a fight. Sometimes I don't sleep well before the fight.
Yeah.
And when I don't sleep well, I perform very well. When I am extra relaxed, like my last fight, I'll just give you a quick example. My last fight, I was saying like a lot of things happened during that fight. But I was telling my coach, like, listen, I don't feel I'm super relaxed. My heart is very calm.
Yeah.
It's very strange. And I slept good. The next day, I didn't something wake up off. To the fight. Yeah.
Something was off.
But yeah, I mean, like 24 hours, just went to all that feeling about being scared, about doubting myself comes out.
Okay. I think it also depends on the athlete a bit. So
yes.
Some athletes fight well when they relax.
Yeah.
Some when they're nervous. So I think it also depends on the athlete.
True.
So if this works for you, this works for you. Do you have any rituals that you usually perform before the fight?
I'm a ritual guy.
Us through some of these rituals, let's say 1 week prior to the fight.
It is something I'm working on, obviously, with my mental coaches. Especially, it is good and bad.
How important is a mental coach?
It is everything, I think. It's more important than anything else. Because if I like one thing certain way and changes, it mess up the whole thing for me.
Yeah.
So, and this is really bad. Because, like, when you are going through the motions, you will have stumbles, you will have obstacles, you will have things that come across and not the way you want. So I cannot let it affect my mental readiness.
Of course.
But yeah, I'm working on few things and in my mindset that will protect my mind, how to deal with my mind if changes happen.
Okay.
But yeah, I like some things, especially in my weight cut. This is when I don't think there's a mental coach can deal with my mind during that weight.
Weight cut situation is a complete 180 degree shift.
I'm depriving my body from everything and dropping weight. And usually I'm a big guy, so I cut a lot of weight.
Yeah.
So I like things to be in a certain way.
Okay.
The timing of training is very important for me. The way I do sauna, like I'm talking that week leading up to the fight.
Yeah, of course.
The timing of the training, the people around me, it's very important.
I think for you personally, because I know you, this is one of the most important components in your preps.
Yes, people around me and the timing of training. And I'm trying to build that. Like, I failed a couple times over the years by building a really good circle around me, but I'm trying to be very selective with who I surround myself with. Especially, you know, this sport, it's me only like walking in the cage, but like the people supporting and the people behind it always give you that feeling that you are not alone. When you are alone, this is the most important moment when you need people around you that don't make you feel alone. True. And that's what I'm looking to have now.
That's amazing. Yeah. This is something we never talked about before. Like, yes, I am part of your team, and I understand a bit, especially the mental aspect with you when you're preparing. So yeah, I'm happy to hear about this.
Of course, like a lot of people talk that the fighters walk alone. It's you versus you.
Yeah.
Well, like some, I don't think it's me versus me, because sometimes I have doubts in myself, but I need people are next to me to support, to beat me.
Yeah, true.
So you are not like this. You are better than this. So you need people to make you wake up from that dark hole sometimes. So it's very important to know who I'm surrounding myself with. And sometimes this is my mistake, is I like things a certain way. I get stuck with people that are not good for me during that fight week.
Okay.
You know, so like I'm working to change that as well.
Okay. Now, since we're talking about the mental component, all fighters, all athletes even, face setbacks. They face losses. The typical reaction usually for a fighter, especially, let's say, at a certain age, is they want to stop fighting.
Yeah.
Then 1 week later, they get the hunger back. And they want to fight again. So take me through that a bit. When you face a setback.
It is part of our journey to lose, you know, and I feel fighters that lose grow more than fighters that don't. Especially for post-career life, because you know that the glamorous life is not going to last.
True.
And the win's going to end at one point.
True.
So losses are very, very good lessons if you know how to capitalize on them. It's not also every fighter that loses know how to use those losses to his benefits. So losses, if they are used in a good way, they are very good school for every fighter.
Yeah.
But yes, every time I walk into a cage, I'm ready to put piece of my soul in that cage. So I bury it and I forget it. So especially when you lose, someone takes part of your soul. That's why when I walk out, like, my spirit is dead. My spirit is missing that piece that I left in that cage.
Yeah.
So I think every time I walk out, it hurts so bad. Knowing that I'm at a really good level, I don't want to say I'm the greatest athlete of all time, but I think I can be very high level athlete, but sometimes it's not my day. And I lose, and I leave part of my soul in there. Yeah, I mean, like, that's why I think every time I walked out of the cage, not every time, but most of the times when I walked out, I say, this is it. Like, it hurts so bad that I don't want to feel that loss again.
Yeah, sure.
And then a week later, I just want to get it back.
Yeah.
Like I want to get that loss. I want to avenge that loss. So I think that's the thought process. Going into a fight, losing, and then coming out of it, you don't want to feel that hurt again. But a week later, when the wounds are sealed and you calm down and you start licking your wounds, and you're ready to get that back. But yeah, I signed the dotted line to go in, kill or to be killed.
Yeah. To follow up on that, there was a point in your career where you had a long layoff.
Yeah.
When we had the injuries. I'm talking about that because I just watched Kamaru Usman fight the morning. He almost had also a two-year layoff. How hard is it to fight after a long layoff?
Again,
the feeling in the cage is something you need to feel, let's say, two or three times a year.
Yeah. Again, like I feel it is hard if you are not surrounded by the right people. Again, it is the right people, the right environment.
Yep.
Like you cannot come out of a couch and say, okay, I'm ready to fight again. Let's do a training camp. No, you need to be in that circle, living that moment. Even when I was on a two-year layoff, I was more or less involved in the martial arts world. I was commentating. I was watching a lot of fights.
Yep.
I was involved in directing some fighters. So, like, I always had that feeling in my heart, like, I really want to come back. So, it was hard. I'm not saying that it wasn't, and it was like walk in the park, but it was definitely hard to come back and prepare, and especially to weight cut after 2 years of doing nothing. But I enjoyed the process. Enjoying the process more important than enjoying the fights. It's the process that it counts. The journey of preparation, of doubts, of ups and downs, of injuries or recoveries. And so I enjoy that. It's like, it's my job. So when you enjoy your job, you perform good.
So now talking about the journey of a fighter. So each fighter we know has a fight camp leading to the fight. What does a typical fight camp look for you?
Before, I was always when I was younger, I was always in training. I was always very close to fight shape, I would say.
Okay.
6 weeks, I think, would be enough to game plan and to boost my cardio a bit.
Okay.
Now, it's more about controlling my weight, controlling my injuries, because I cannot say injury preventions anymore, but I say injury management.
There is the term injury prevention. Sorry to comment on that. There is nothing that will prevent injury.
Exactly.
Especially with your sports.
Yeah.
Even at any sports, as SNC coaches, we cannot prevent injuries.
Yes.
We help in load management. And our goal is to optimize your performance.
Exactly.
But injuries are part of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I manage my injuries and then I need more time to be ready.
Okay.
Before it was 6 weeks. Now I would say I need 12 weeks of really hard work to be fight ready.
Okay.
So that's why I'm looking to reduce the amount of fights.
Okay. So speaking about that, how do you usually structure your training? Let's say you have SNC, you have jiu-jitsu, you have pad work, you have all the aspects. How do you usually do that throughout the week?
So, because now my focus more on body performance and physical shape, I put more attention on the SNC part. And now you know that I'm doing more swimming and cardio work. So my focus, I would say 70% on
physical
performance and 30% on martial arts. Okay. Obviously, how close and far I am from a fight, these percentages will fluctuate, obviously. Before, when I was a young fighter, obviously, I wanted to learn more in the sport.
Yeah.
So I was doing a lot of martial arts, a lot of sparring rounds, a lot of grappling around. So I was focusing a lot on doing on the learning process. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I am at the stage where I have the experience, I have the knowledge, I have the techniques. So I need to preserve the machine, which is my body, to run longer. And this is what I come to understand as well.
Maybe also because you came through a lot.
Yes. Like,
throughout the fights that you've had and everything, your body got actually hit.
Yes. So, like, I think I need less martial arts and more physical attention.
Okay. Tell us a bit. You spoke before it's the most important thing for you is to have the right people.
Yeah.
How important is the head coach for you when it comes to your camp?
So, if you look, I will give you examples so you understand.
Yes.
When you have a big band of 30 musicians, you have one maestro that are leading everyone. And without that one person, like it will be a huge mess. Nobody knows when to hit the notes. And so this is the role of a head coach. Head coach needs to know how to lead, not just the athlete, but lead the other trainers as well.
Yeah.
Where to push, be in very good connections with them, which I failed to achieve so far. I failed to achieve one really good head coach that can orchestrate a training camp from A to Z.
Yeah.
I had great head coaches, but they couldn't work with other coaches, which is a very stressful relationship for me, because I will be in the middle trying to organize between coaches, and I always
this is the part that's gonna take from you, which
yes, and this is it's taking from my mind capacity. It's like okay, I need to work with this coach, but also I need to work with it. And if the coach is not working together, each one will be pushing in direction where my body will take the hit. So I mean, it's very hard. The only time I achieved that when I trained everything under the same gym in Thailand.
Yeah.
All the coaches under the same umbrella. And when we go, we're always in communication. So the pad holder knows what I'm doing in the sparring.
Yeah.
The grapplers know what I'm doing in the SNC. So like everyone knows what I'm doing. So when I'm doing everything in one place, the communication was easier. Here is the biggest struggle. The best thing I'm doing
when you say here, it means in Dubai.
Do
you think it's something we suffer from in the Arab region more than, let's say, Thailand or US?
100%. Because I think the martial arts education is still new.
Yeah.
How things work is still new. It's a very young market for martial arts. And also, we still work through our egos. This is the most, what harms the athlete before the coach.
Yeah.
So because we lead our jobs with our egos, it's what prevent us from, okay, let's step down from my shiny crown. I'll put down my shiny crown and go down to my fellow coaches and speak to them.
Yeah.
This is what is hurting at the moment.
Yeah.
And like you cannot leave it up to the athlete to organize everything.
For sure not.
Yeah.
Sure.
So like at the end of the day, I want, like at my stage, I have a family. I wanna, once I'm done with the training, I wanna disconnect. I wanna go to my family. I don't wanna be worrying about the next training session. I just wanna show up and know what to do.
Training. Yes. Talking from an SNC standpoint, especially towards our region, I see, because you just spoke about the education in the Arab region, I see how fighters tend to push, but they tend to push blindly.
Yeah.
So maybe it might be their financial means don't allow them, but they tend to push to an extreme that doesn't give them absolutely no benefits. They just crash. So how do you think that educational part is something we can improve on towards our region?
It's still hard to make athletes understand that training extremely hard is not the answer. You cannot tell that, like, until now, like, sparring hard is not the answer. Training extremely, drive yourself to the absolute limit in every training session is not.
This is a fighter's thing, by the way.
Most of us, when you think you are working extremely hard, I'm doing something good.
True.
But then you drive yourself to the absolute limit that you cannot perform. And I'm saying this out of experience.
Yeah.
I tell even like fellow athletes, young athletes, that sometimes I did my actual fight in the training camp.
Yep.
And when I reached the fight, I had no fight left in me.
True.
So it's not...
Especially that you go through the weight cut also in the
end. Yeah, which... I mean, like, I did very extremely hard rounds in the training camp. And then, like, my body is already done when I reached the fight.
Yeah.
So I didn't show up.
Yeah.
So it is very thin line between going very hard and hitting the right spot.
I agree. And now with the science that we have, everything can be achieved based on the athletes we have, but you have to have the right people.
Yeah, exactly. We go back to having the right people and trusting those people.
Yeah.
Like when I put my trust in the person I hired, his job is to tell me, okay, now you are tired, go rest.
Yeah.
Or now you are lazy.
Which is what we do, by the way. Well, sometimes you come to the session, I feel the energies of,
yes,
you're not there. We go actually grab a coffee. And
exactly, yes. So like sometimes, no, you are lazy.
Yeah.
Push hard. And sometimes, no, you are tired. Let's
take it down.
Yeah. So it is very important. Like, that's why when you ask me what the importance of a head coach is, that is this, yeah, is to orchestrate the training, see the gaps, fill the gaps. If the cup is overly full, do you need to reduce a bit? So you need this person that communicate and draw the lines.
Yeah. Following up on that, I know that you're a guy who takes care of his body. You have a lot of emphasis on recovery. So what type of recoveries do you do? I've been to your place. I know what you have. So
because of the 2 years injury, I think I become obsessed with recovery.
Yeah.
So any new thing that I see online that boosts energy, boosts recovery, boosts that performance,
I get it.
I get it. So I invest a lot in hyper ice equipment. Yeah. I almost have everything, the major ones.
Yeah.
I do a lot of focus on nutrition.
By the way, shout out to Darin. She suffers from everything.
Yeah. A lot of supplements. I take really good care about my supplementation, my vitamins. I know what goes in and what goes out. I also, at one point, I was using peptides as well.
Yeah.
It's a new research chemicals that the body already produce to enhance the physicality and the recovery. Now I'm trying to build sauna and ice bath in my house in Thailand, so I don't have to go to places to do them.
Yeah.
But like anything you think of, yeah, as in term recovery, I have it.
No, I can imagine. And to add to that, every athlete is different.
Yes.
So what works for you might not work for another athlete.
Yes.
So it all depends on how you feel.
And thanks to you, I do some recovery training sessions. So sometimes when you feel, I tell you, no, we do something light. It makes me feel better afterward than not training at all.
Yeah.
So this is also part of recovery.
Yeah, my guy. So speaking about that, our job as SNC coaches, usually, this is something I saw. The coaches, SNC coaches, want to show the athlete and want to push the athlete to the limit, thinking or behaving in a way that the SNC sessions are the most important things.
Yes.
Which, to me, they aren't. They complement what you do. At the end of the day, you're a fighter. You have to fight. My job is to help you optimize your physical attributes to be able to perform better. So because you just said that sometimes I do recovery sessions, so to me, I need to complement what you do.
Yes.
I need to push you, but not to that extreme where you can't actually perform in your other training sessions.
Absolutely. This is, again, we circle back to the point that not every session need to be smashing session and you go balls to walls and you need to go out of it completely smashed. No. Yeah. Sometimes going out of a recovery training session fresh and ready to do another one is more beneficial than training hard or not training at all, because this will help me sleep better. And wake up, my muscle will be well recovered, yeah. Worked lightly to stay soft, and then I can perform better exactly. the next session. So it is part of recovery. Yeah. I don't think I ever stopped SNC in my life.
True.
Even before we meet, I never, like, I didn't work. I did. I tried a couple coaches here, but I didn't continue with them. But in general, I have one coach that I worked with most of my career, Woody. Yes.
Shout out, Woody.
So I had
the pleasure to actually meet him once he came and trained with you.
So even in COVID, during Corona, when there was a lockdown, I was still doing SNC, like home workouts and that. So throughout my 15 years career, I never stopped SNC. So it is a crucial part of preserving my body. That's why I feel now, after shifting things up a bit and working like intensively with you, I feel the strongest I've ever
been. And it actually shows.
Yeah.
It actually shows.
Like, you focused a lot of my like rotational movement, which is making a huge difference in my performance on the mat.
And single leg. Don't forget the single legs.
Yes.
So, Tarek, you're one of the most respected Arab fighters in the game. What does it mean to you to actually represent the region on international stage? That's one. And two, a lot of international fighters are actually fighters you've trained with, or let's say whenever they want to come to Dubai, you actually handle everything with them and show them around. The likes of Volkanovski, Duplessis, like everything.
Yeah. It is hard for me sometimes because I need to represent the region in a very good manner.
True.
Like
on and off the cage.
On and off the cage, and the way I talk and the way I deal with people. So sometimes it puts stress on me, but also I enjoy it. It's part of my career. It's part of who I am too. I like to look after people. I like to help others a lot. So yeah, every time I go on a podcast, on a TV channel, on an interview, I try to
commentating.
I work a lot on my vocabulary. I work a lot on the way I present, the way I talk. So it's more important than just the way I fight, because you need these two parallel to work hand in hand, your personality and your fights. Because you look, the most successful athletes in the world, they have a good personality outside the cage. That's what helps them, help the promotions to market them as well.
Sure.
I might not be the best athlete in the world inside the cage. I have 9 losses on my record. Yeah. However, I worked so hard on myself.
On your brand.
To build my brand, to build my name, to represent the Arab region in a very educated way.
Yeah.
It is very important, and the time I spent in Thailand building connections that I really cherish to me a lot, I keep those connections all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm always in contact. I'm like with Volkanovski, we were roommate at one stage. So when he came to Dubai, I wanted to show him my culture.
Yeah.
I wanted to show him around. I wanted to see this, see that. So all my American or like foreigners' friends, when they come, I like to represent the culture very well.
Yeah.
So like it comes natural, I would say.
I definitely agree on that. And which actually allowed you to grow. Like you started in UAE Warriors, you started in Brave. Now you're one of the top organizations in the world with PFL. You had one fight, you had a loss, you're going to recover from that. So how important is also building your brand for organizations to see you and actually invest in you?
Obviously, like promotions at the end of the day, they are our business partners. If you don't drive business to them, they don't want to do business with you. So if I show them, okay, look, this is the number of eyes I bring in every time I fight. This is the amount of seats I fill every time I fight. And this is the amount of exposure I give you every time I fight. And this gives them enough reason
incentive to
sign you.
Yeah.
It's whether you bring in a very good fighter that is an assassin. He submits or knock out everybody, but nobody knows him. And they can't build a story around him.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk. He doesn't know how to present himself. This talent will fade away.
True.
Because you can fight for like a certain amount of time, and people have a short memory.
True.
You fight, they remember you for that week, then you go away, then you're gone.
Even if you win or lose.
Yes. Like, yeah. If you don't have that brand to ride the wave of a win, yeah, to ride the wave of a victory, people will forget. They have a very short memory.
Yeah.
Like, even my last fight, I lost it very badly. Still, people don't remember that. They remember what I am doing online, for example, or when I show up to an event, they remember that. So when I am always out there communicating, commentating, doing this and that, they remember that part. So that's what's important for promotions.
To add to that, I know that you have a very close relationship.
Also, I'm funny, so people...
people don't see a lot that side. I can see it. But yeah, you do have a lovely, actually, funny personality.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that I know you have a very good and close relationship with Fuad Darwish.
Yes.
In UAE Warriors. How important was that relationship in helping you build your brand?
Oh, man. Like... He is
a brother. We never actually spoke about this, but I've been seeing it year after year.
Yeah, so like Fuad Darwish is a brother to me, you know. Like, he helped me in various ways, not only career-wise. So the first time I meet him, it was 2019. And this is that we go back to the importance of what the promotion see in an athlete as a talent and outside of the talent. So what happened is, I was an underdog in 2019 in a fight.
Okay.
When UAE Warriors 9, they wanted a replacement for a title fight.
Okay.
93 kilos, weight class above me. I really needed that money. It wasn't much, but yeah. Yeah. I was struggling. I really needed that. And it was a title fight against a legend, Ollie Thompson. UFC veteran, Bellator veteran, UK strongest man in multiple years. So everyone counted me out. Yeah. Even before we even went into fight week.
Yeah.
I walked in this fight again, do or die mentality. I fought, I won, and that's when I gained the respect of everyone.
One fight.
I walked out. Fuad told me, I thought you're going to lose. And that's the start of our relationship.
And then
I came into the show multiple times. And the more I get to know him or to know each other, the more we grew our relationship. And in 2020, they needed to put a card during COVID when the lockdown, when there was a border between Abu Dhabi and Dubai to separate
COVID.
For COVID, yeah. And I went there, I without training, off the couch, just went to do a fight. So again, that's why I lost the fight, but I think I gained respect of the promotion I get.
You helped them out, actually.
Yeah, and in 2021, I asked them if I can commentate, and that's when he started.
You asked them to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, why not? He gave me the opportunity, and then he opened the door for me to join Abu Dhabi Media.
Okay.
And that's when they had me join the commentary team for the UFC. So it's because of him, actually. In 2020, when my cousin passed away in Beirut explosion, I wanted to give him a tribute fight.
Okay.
And the card was full back then. I called Fuad. I said, please let me fight. And he actually supported me that during that period and helped me out and gave me a fight, and it was a highlight of my career as well, that fight.
Yeah, there was too much emotions in.
Too much emotions. I didn't feel the win as much. I felt I'm connecting with my cousin, you know. Okay. Like when I knocked out my opponent, the only thing I wanted to do is screaming his name, you know. So and that's what I did. And Fuad was always there as a brother to me and supporting me as part of my family.
Wow. To follow up on that, you know, let's say now you're a family man.
Yeah.
You have your daughters. Even like at the UFC stage, when you see fighters, most of them have a chip on their shoulder coming into certain fights. And these are the fights where they perform at the highest level.
Yes.
So now that you're a dad, mentally, how does it affect you?
To be honest, like, I feel stronger and I'm more obliged to work harder because I need to provide for them. Sure. I need to provide for my family. I need to set a certain standard for my daughter when she knows what's going on to look at me and say, my dad worked hard. My dad represented his family and his community very well.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do have a chip on my shoulder to be a role model for my daughter. Okay. Regardless the job I'm doing, if it's on TV, if it's an interview, a fight, yeah. I need always to set a really high standard for everything I do to be a very good role model for my daughter when she understands what I'm doing.
Of course. Yeah. And actually, lots of Arab fighters look up to you, especially like young fighters. You are actually a role model for them. What advice would you give them for someone who is actually growing up the ranks and having an MMA career?
The best advice is discipline. You need to be disciplined to your training, disciplined to your coaches, disciplined to your culture is very important.
Okay.
We can't be acting like maniacs. Yeah, and be disciplined to your character. If your character is a certain way, just be disciplined to that character that you built, because the media will be interested in that character, that unique character. Each fighter is different than another. We can't act like maniacs in a fight. So discipline and consistency.
Right.
If you're consistent with what they are doing, even if you miss 100 times, the 101, you will get it.
Sure.
So discipline and consistency is very important. Key for any athlete, I believe, not only fighters.
Not even athletes. Anyone who actually works at any job
yes.
needs to be disciplined and consistent to reach whatever.
Yeah, 100%. But if you keep trying to change things around, you're not even giving it enough time
to grow. True.
Just be consistent, stick to the course, train hard, be disciplined, and a lot of athletes can achieve great things.
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Now, you're at a stage in your life, not actually now, like the past couple of years, where you're actually building your business outside of the cage, and you have your business or your work inside of the cage. What is it that Tariq wants to do outside of the cage? What's the ambition? What's the goal?
Oh, I can't per se, I want a certain thing.
Okay.
But I am learning to be a businessman.
Yeah.
The idea I have is I want to build a company that can help connect athletes with sponsors.
Okay.
So I want that middleman, because I understand the struggle.
That's what we spoke about,
yeah,
like your upbringing.
Understand the struggle of every athlete preparing for fights, the financial stress that every fighter has. So I want to create a platform for athletes to be able to connect to sponsors easily.
Okay.
Or vice versa. Show these sponsors the importance of athletes, the importance of helping out communities to brand market their brands. So yes, this is what I want to do in the after career.
Okay.
I would say, but I'm using my career to push through the post career thing.
You actually collaborated. You have a new management.
Yes.
Not long ago.
Yeah.
I met actually firsthand one of the guys that worked there in your PFL fight. Amazing guy.
John.
Yeah. So How important?
John. John. Everyone, John.
I think that's the name we need to go with.
This is the secret name. Yeah.
How important are they now in your career, especially you are in an international organization, and are they helping you in the things you want to do outside of the cage?
Yes, it is very important to choose a very good manager. Yeah. Manager can make or break the fighter. For the longest time, I had a very bad management leading out my career, and it harmed me in several ways until I was able to get out of that management contract to speak with the new management. I was always in good terms with, I'm in good terms with everybody. But I was in very close contact with Paradigm Sports. And we kind of agreed on several layers in terms of post-career life and post-career businesses. And Uday is the CEO of the Paradigm Sports. We talked a lot about things and what I want to do after career. And they're really helping me in several layers.
Okay.
They're helping me and also... they're helping me help other athletes.
Amazing.
So if I know an athlete that I feel has a future, we talk about it, we see his fights, and maybe we can recruit him in the management company. Maybe we can help him reach a different stage in terms of fighting and so on. So definitely we talked a lot about things that I can do outside of the cage. And that's what interests me in them. They don't look at the athlete as just an asset to fight. They look at him as a business partner, and they want to grow with him in the fight game and outside the fight game.
Which is actually amazing, because a lot of management companies look at the athlete as a money-making machine.
Yes.
Instead of looking at the athlete as a business partner.
Absolutely.
Which is great to hear.
Yeah.
In our region, you know, the financial struggles of most fighters in Syria, in Lebanon, even in some in the UAE. What do you think can be done to be able to help the athletes that are struggling?
Like, this is what I want to do, to be honest. Like, build this platform that can expose these athletes to these companies and brands, that we can help each other exchange financial transactions.
Okay.
But also the Arab fighters need to do some work to be able to represent certain brands, because you can't be...
What is it that Arab fighters are lacking, in your opinion?
I feel language.
Okay.
You need to speak multiple languages, vocabulary, know how to put wordings together. Social media, you need to put clean, consistent social media. Activity outside the cage as well. You are, because we spoke about that. People's memory. Yep. They're very short. You can't ask a company to sponsor you for one fight and then you forget.
True.
No, you need like to ride that win, to ride that victory or fight. Like, sponsors need to sponsor you if you win or lose. Obviously, everyone wants to be on the winner's wagon, but like, we all have a 50-50 chances to win or lose.
Yep.
So you need to be able to capitalize on these things and like work, put a plan for you how to manage your social media, how to manage yourself outside the cage, so sponsors can actually sponsor you.
Usually when we look at an athlete, of course, we need to be good at the sports we do and everything. Nowadays, like we said, social media plays a huge role.
100%.
Do you think lots of Arab fighters didn't get their chance because they weren't exposed properly, or because they don't emphasize on that aspect?
It's very hard to say, because there is now more fighters than promotions. That's for sure.
True.
Yeah. So, like, if you are a talent and you don't know how to communicate, obviously this talent will go away.
True.
Because, like, you need to communicate with people to help you out. Otherwise, you'll just be a talent, wasted talent.
Wasted talent.
And also, talent is just 1%. You need talent plus hard work plus discipline to reach. Because there's so many talents that don't train hard and lazy. They don't reach anywhere. So you need like a really good combo to find, and for the Arab athlete to do, be disciplined, be humble, to reach. There is, like, just in my circle, there is the talent that don't want to work.
Yeah.
There is the talents that work but don't want to grow the social media. And there is the who had a very good opportunity but never capitalized on it in terms of fight. So I have in my circle these three examples. But, yeah, then you need to have a full package. Fighters will get their chance, right moment,
right time. They need to capitalize on it.
Yeah, but you need the discipline and consistency. And once when that right moment and right time arrives, you need to be very ready to snatch it.
Yeah, true. For fighters or non-fighters, like sometimes you might get a single opportunity that might change your life.
Yeah.
What is the opportunity you think was a huge turnaround in your career?
Me? In terms of what? Fighting?
Yeah.
I think that title fight the title fight changed my life because, like in my career, there is a few UFC names under my belt that I won. But the title fight was the turning moment that when everyone counted me out, I was like, I outperformed myself. I actually pushed myself to the absolute limit in that fight. Like, if you watch the fight, I nearly passed out.
In the end.
In the end. I put everything I got to finish the fight. And I got it. And I think I gained a huge respect during that moment. And also stepping in for not short notice, but without training and just fight in during COVID. Also that built a huge respect under my name. So again, moments and opportunities, they come. You got to be there to snatch them.
Yeah. Last question before we go into our quick fire round, which I'll tell you about later. How important has been your partner, Darin, and your family in your life?
Obviously, like, the partner can make or break every fighter or athlete, I would say. Like, having an understanding partner, a supportive partner.
It's not easy. You being a fighter and she's expecting you to get hit, it's not easy.
Yeah, so like having a supportive partner, understanding partner, plays a major role. Like, actually, it can make or break athletes. I know a lot of athletes that have partners that don't support, and actually these athletes break.
Yeah.
So if you have a loving home, a warm home that you go to, and that's why I said, like, all the pieces connect with each other. Like, when I say I want a very good head coach to organize my training, I want to disconnect in a home where it's stress-free. Yeah. I want to leave the stress of training in the gym and come and relax at home. And if you have a really good partner that provides that warmth for you, it's everything you need. Any athlete needs something like this to succeed.
True. Yeah. I definitely agree. So to round up, we're doing a quick fire round. Cool. I
dodged the bullet?
Nah. I'm going to be basically asking you a question. I want a single answer and why.
And why? Yeah, yes. Like, go ahead.
Favorite fighter of all time?
Georges St-Pierre. Why? Because his discipline towards being an athlete before being a fighter is phenomenal. His philosophy behind fighting is also outstanding. So he's been... Also, his business mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, GSP is something I look up to.
Okay. Most difficult opponent so far?
For me?
Yeah.
Difficult opponent was Rustam Shasiev. He is an ADCC legend.
Okay.
I was more than ready for that fight, and I had zero excuse, and he out-grappled me fair and square.
With your background, that's quite hard.
Yes.
The jiu-jitsu background.
Yeah.
So I can imagine. If not MMA, what would you be doing?
Oh, my God. I was beating up AJ. Probably. no, I probably... If I remove all the circumstances as well?
Yeah, not the family business, yeah.
Not the family business? It's a very tough question. I don't know.
You don't know. Okay.
Probably fighting in some street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me something about yourself that people don't know about you.
I'm funny. And people don't know I'm funny. They think I'm serious all the time.
Yeah.
I'm an open book to the public. No, I'm joking. I'm funny.
You're not,
I'm funny. I work hard. I'm emotional.
Okay.
Yeah, I cry a lot when I watch TV.
Yeah?
Yes. American Got Talent, when that was golden buzzer moment, I tear up. These people don't know.
AJ too?
Especially when it's a girl winning. Oh my God.
But those young kids,
yes.
Yeah. These were my four questions, basically. So
I passed the exam?
Yes, you passed.
Okay.
So T, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
It was a pleasure and an honor having you as my first episode on JMP.
Oh
podcast.
My God, I had the absolute pleasure to open that route for you.
So thank you.
My absolute pleasure. I will single leg shake your hand.
Thank you.
Thank you.